From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. If Chris Thiele were a character in a public radio fairy tale, he'd be wearing a glass slipper right now.
I think it'd probably be around a 9.5, but maybe a 10 if it was an athletic glass slipper.
Or he'd have a crown and scepter. Or he'd be sleeping in a comfortable bed with a most accommodating bear. Not too hard, not too soft. In 2016, the creator and longtime host of the Prairie Home Companion retired and chose Thiele as his successor. That decision gave Thiele entree to a weekly audience of more than 3 million listeners, and he's grabbing them by the ears. Thiele is an award-winning composer and multi-instrumentalist, and he's a hellfire mandolin player. So huzzah! Chris Thiele is leading the kingdom to a new happily ever after. After the break. Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're with a live audience at the George and Joyce Ween Jazz and Heritage Center in New Orleans. And we've assembled here to welcome Chris Thiele. The Grammy Award-winning mandolin virtuoso, composer, and recording artist, who is now host of Public Radio's Prairie Home Companion. Yes, indeed! What? Now, this is the tough part, Chris.
Oh, okay.
By coincidence or design, Chris Thiele is a young man who almost always looks exhausted. His clothes are often rumpled. His hair stands in every direction.
Also true.
He's a 30-something with the air of a desert island castaway. or a floating dandelion seed, the kind that people catch and make a wish on. You guys are good. Thiele has made a lot of wishes come true. He's a founding member of the platinum-selling bluegrass trio Nickel Creek.
Thank you.
He's recorded Bach sonatas and the songs of Bill Monroe. He's a recipient of the MacArthur Foundation's Genius Grant, and he collaborates with the best of the best musicians, including Yo-Yo Ma, Brad Meldow, and his brethren in strings, the Punch Brothers. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Gwen. That was amazing. I love the dandelion. I like the exhausted part.
Your head is like a dandelion.
Yeah, it's
a puffball.
Puffball.
Yeah, with content. With content.
Well, but it's... I mean, sometimes, maybe.
I just want to blow.
I spent a large portion of my childhood blowing on dandelions.
Is that right?
Absolutely. I just wanted it to be even, like blowing bubbles.
Ooh.
You know, and when a patch would just stay there for a second, I'd get very upset.
It's a dream deferred.
Yeah, it was just sad.
But, you know, the truth is you do actually seem like a desert island castaway. And it's not only because of the way you look, but also because you have these qualities of kind of like a frontiersman, like a traveler who follows his own wildly varied and omnivorous musical tastes.
All right.
Is that fair?
I hope so. Gosh, I hope so. I love that description.
Yeah, you have giant ears. You hear everything, and you're able to... figuratively speaking,
normal size,
that is.
Normal-sized ears out there on the radio. Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal.
But you are. You're able to sort of bring it all in. And the truth of the matter is that's how most of us are at our own houses. No house in New Orleans, no house around the world only plays a certain kind of music, one genre.
Right.
You know? And so why, oh, why would a musician be asked to play one genre of music?
At this point, I think most of that kind of pressure on a musician who's maybe from a particular spot has dissipated. You know, we're in an unprecedentedly connected era. And so music and people's expectations of it is developing along with that. But I do think that people still kind of funnel things off into their various spots and would maybe think of someone like Jason Marsalis and say, oh, is it, you know, jazz? I go, oh, jazz. And maybe think of someone like me and go, bluegrass.
Right.
Yeah, bluegrass. But very often people like us aren't thinking about it that way at all. I mean, we are maybe associated with instruments that one suspects to see engaged in that sort of activity, but what we choose to do with those instruments is anyone's guess.
That's right, anyone's guess. But I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
All right. If you were lost on a coconut island, or planning to be lost on a coconut island,
right?
Okay, your desert island discs.
Yeah.
Can you name three of the albums you would bring?
Oh man. Let's see. I think I would want Glenn Gould's first recording of the Goldbergs.
Yes.
On there. I think I know this is something on a lot of people's coconut islands. They've printed a bunch specifically for that purpose. But I think I'd need Kind of Blue on there.
Yes. Miles Davis,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I might want, then I'm thinking it's a toss-up between Kid A and Revolver.
Radiohead?
I don't know.
So Radiohead, like, or the Beatles?
Maybe.
Take them both.
You said three.
I did, but you know, this is a town about all about Lang Yap, and you can always have an extra.
All right. I did that thing that I used to do when I ran out of space. What I did is, like, you only saw three cases, but there were maybe three or four CDs in each of those cases.
Very
doubled up,
good.
And the thing's barely closed, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Very good. But the thing is, you know, since you began hosting the Prairie Home Companion, this is, I guess you started in the fall of 2016.
Was that, yeah.
You have featured a number of artist friends who've come to join you on stage, not just members of the Punch Brothers, but also people like Jack White,
yeah,
you know, like Steve Martin, the banjo player, and I believe he might be a comedian too. The
really?
Shins,
yes.
Regina Spektor.
Yes.
And you support all of those acts on stage with your mandolin, and it sounds fantastic.
It was a junk house in South Carolina, held a boy the age of 10. Along with his older brother Billy and their mother and her boyfriend.
It took me all of a year to put the poison pill to your ear, but now I stand on honest ground, on honest ground. You wanna fight for this love, but honey, you cannot wrestle it down. Your baby, it's clear.
Enjoy your youth. Sounds like a threat. Enjoy your youth. Sounds like a threat. But I will.
Is there any kind of music that you are not good playing at?
Oh, this, you know, you start pretty bad at anything, and then you just try and chip away at your badness over the years.
But what do you stink at?
Well, let's see. You know, there's certain feels that they can be damnably elusive if you haven't grown up just thoroughly ensconced in them. There are those theories about you know, maybe if you are unaware of a thing's existence or the possibility of its existence, that you might not even see it when it appears. And I think that certainly holds true for musicians. If you haven't even accounted for the possibility of this sound, then you might miss it. With your ears, and I think sometimes I've listened back to something where I thought I was killing it, And then, and only then does it actually pop into my ear and kind of slap me in the face and go, man, you were so far from grooving that thing. Like, you sound like the squarest.
So no Himalayan throat singing for you.
You are right, I'm bad at that.
You do this really interesting sort of segment where you salute people on their birthdays.
Yeah, yeah.
And so far, you have gone to the Led Zeppelin well twice.
Well, they were back-to-back birthdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Paul Jones, yeah, the great bass player, and of course, Jimmy Page on guitar, right? But no love for Elvis Presley.
That's true.
January 8th, I
skipped over the King.
What's going on there?
Well, there's always next year. You gotta save some. That was a crazy packed birthday week. I think we were in Chicago. Yeah, and we were gonna do Jailhouse Rock maybe, or I mean, I was really tempted to do Cartman's version of In the Ghetto.
No way.
Do you remember that?
Oh, no.
Another girl, baby child was born in the ghetto. In the ghetto. And your mama cried. That's a great line. The next line is incredible, because if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto, something like that. It's a great song. But for whatever reason, it just didn't... He didn't make it in. It wasn't that he didn't make the cut.
No.
It's just, he overmade the cut.
He did. He overmade the cut. Yeah. And then I think you made like a Solomonic choice between David Bowie and Elvis Presley.
I am feeling you Solomonic so hard right now. That is a killer adjective.
But let me ask you.
That is so good. The visual that you just conjured up in my head.
But is Kashmir as fun to play as it is to listen to?
Oh, yeah. This week, Mr. Jimmy Page. Jimmy turned, 73 years old on Monday. Of course, the creator of so many of the world's epic riffs. None greater than this one.
But you know, the producer T-Bone Burnett,
yes,
who produced a Punch Brothers album, right, mm-hmm, Phosphorescent Blues,
yeah,
right, he reportedly called you a once in a century musician.
That seems long.
Once a century. So what is the difference between virtuosity and artistry?
Oh, well, virtuosity, of course, is a tool that can be used in service of good music making. It's not an end in and of itself. There have been really wonderful finger wagglers who haven't moved that many people deeply. But there are plenty of finger wagglers who have. I'm slightly perturbed about people sort of vilifying virtuosity right now, that they equate it with a lack of soul. Man, that's not soulful. That's just
too many notes.
Too many notes.
Too many notes.
Yes. Would you like me to remove, sire? Yes.
Well,
I watched that movie. I don't know, that was one of the few that we had in my house, so I saw it a lot.
Amadeus.
Yeah, except the racy parts, which my mom actually deleted.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you get to the nipples of Venus?
No, erased.
Candy. It was candy.
That section was erased.
Dang.
Yeah.
You've got a lot to look forward to, young man.
Too much cleavage. Yeah. Too much cleavage for a young homeschooled boy.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you feel like playing a song for us?
Sure I do.
Thank you.
Sure I do. Okay.
Thank you.
Chris Thiele singing My Oh My, a song he usually performs with the Punch Brothers. Thiele is host of A Prairie Home Companion and joined us not long ago before a live audience in New Orleans. Coming up, the funkiest fast food order since the Naked Chicken Chalupa. Stay tuned.
You know, being the new host of A Prairie Home Companion is like drawing a Monopoly card that says, bank error in your favor, collect Garrison Keillor offering you a job that was your pretend game as a child along with becoming a Jedi Master, Shamu the Killer Whale, and a starting pitcher for the Cubs. I accept.
That's Chris Thiele. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. Thiele first appeared on A Prairie Home Companion as a child prodigy on mandolin. Now, he's a 30-something and the show's host. And yet he's not exactly of the prairie. Thiele lives in a musical stratosphere that includes Bach sonatas, bluegrass, funk music, electronica, and hip-hop. But geographically speaking, he grew up the oldest of three brothers in Southern California.
Dad is a piano technician. And then mom certainly could have done anything, but she stayed at home and she homeschooled us.
Wow.
So she had her hands full.
Okay, well, so when you think about growing up, was it Idlewild?
Idlewild, California.
Idlewild,
nice.
California. So when you think about growing up in that house in Idlewild, right, is there any song that just brings you right back to that house?
Oh, yeah.
Growing up?
The Girl from Ipanema that gets Gilberto record. My folks had that. If it wasn't public radio in some form or another, it was something from my dad's collection of vinyl. I think both mom and dad loved it, and it's one of my earliest memories hearing that record.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but before I could tell that one was in Portuguese and one was in English, they both just sounded, to me it was like, okay, the low one is my dad, the high one is my mom.
Oh, but he watched her so sadly. How can he tell her he loves her? Yes, he would give his heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at he. Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, he smiles, but she doesn't see.
And then there's that cool gold instrument. That's cool. Hoots the Owl played the saxophone, you may recall.
We gotta
I've been watching a lot of Sesame Street.
Yeah, you've got a little
lately.
Kid now, right?
I have a little boy.
A little boy, Calvin. Yes. Calvin Eugene.
Calvin Eugene.
I thought
Thiele.
That was a step out on the wild side with Eugene.
Eugene, yeah. Right? That's my wife's grandpa's name.
Nice. Yeah. Very old, yeah. But it's interesting, you know, your upbringing in Southern California, because it sounds so American, this sort of melange of music. And this idea that, from what I hear, the first time you heard bluegrass in a serious way, you were at a pizza joint.
Yes. That Pizza Place is what it's called. In Carlsbad, California. I started going when I was two. The leader of the band there played the mandolin, but it wasn't like, oh, that's so cool. It was, he's so cool. This guy is so cool. He wears a cowboy hat. That's cool.
Cool.
He wears cowboy boots. That's cool.
Cool.
And he was super charismatic. a great performer, this fellow. And I just wanted, I wanted to be him, and the mandolin was included in that.
Very nice bonus.
Yeah.
Is that John Moore of Bluegrass, etc.?
Yeah, John Moore.
Is, you know, you and I were speaking about this a little earlier. Not that we're friends and we work this out, because we, you know, we may be friends one day,
we
haven't worked anything out. But
we're friends now.
Okay,
we're friends now.
We cool.
Yeah, we cool.
All right. But the thing is, you know, how do you develop a language for music?
Oh, you mean as a
little person?
A little person?
Yeah.
It's like flamingos. You know, you eat the shrimp, turn pink. It's true. That's how it goes. You know, what goes in comes out.
That's amazing, though.
And you're the only, you're the only person, everyone here, if you're a serious music fan, you're the only person in the world who loves the particular combination of things that you love. And what those things do to each other, swirling around in your inner ear, that is a unique musical color that is yours.
I
was just dying to get it out. I mean, I even before the mandolin, it was whatever, like a soup ladle was my saxophone. The same shape,
yeah,
more or less. The toilet plunger, I would haul it out of the bathroom, and that was my microphone. Which is good. The business end of the plunger is the mic, actual stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool. It's cool.
Well, it's amazing, though, you know. And you have also said that what you're trying to do now, and what you've really been trying to do throughout your entire career, is to find this space between intellectual music and visceral music, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I feel like you can't truly be transported unless all of your being has been disarmed. I think we are, as human beings, naturally fairly suspicious of things, just a lot of things. I mean, we're full of love and we're full of joy and we're full of the desire to appreciate beauty, but we're also on edge. We're on defense all the time. I think, never has that been more clear than now. And which is why music is particularly important. Just the beauty of that uniquely human impulse to make a beautiful thing and to give it to someone else. That can help right now, and that's our thing. We own that as a species. For all the things that we're really bad at, that's a thing that we're good at.
But you seem to be very good at finding the funk. Like, even though, you play Bach, and you play Scriabin, and you play Debussy, you also kind of, you can get down in a way that, this does not suggest.
So true. So true. Not that I can get down, but just that I don't necessarily look like I could.
But that's what makes you secret agent.
I think that, there's the potential for down getting is in all of those things that you mentioned. There's certainly nothing to suggest that Bach wouldn't have played like. Like with kind of some serious, I can't give it quite the that I am hearing in my head with the mandolin. That is the story of my life, but I do. I think the wide open ears. You really have to approach your love of music, possessed of the conviction that good things come from everywhere, and that there is reason for you to involve yourself with all of it.
Exactly, exactly. You know, on my way over here, I was driving, and there's a bus stop near my house, and I saw this guy waiting for the bus. And I hate waiting for the bus, you know? And so I always stop if I see somebody and offer them a ride. And so I offer this young kid, you know, who's got a cap on, is way down on his face. I couldn't even tell you what his face looked like. And he gets in the car, and as we're driving along, he goes, "Cool music," you know? And he says, "Who is that?" I said, "That's Chris Thiele with Edgar Meyer, the bass player, and their album is called Bass and Mandolin, and it is like rocking." And the guy goes, "Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, man." You know? And I was like, "Yes! Yes!" I mean, that speaks to the universality of the message that you're talking about. At a time like this, when people are talking about lots of different things and oftentimes shouting at each other, yeah, the music brings you together. And the funk in this town especially brings people together, you know?
Yeah, it does. Remember the line, I think it's on Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, in the middle of King Kunta, when it stops, "By the time you hear the pop, the funk shall be within you."
Now very
I'm in
nice.
The game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta. So good.
Good stuff. It's funny because this particular album that you did with Edgar Meyer, I thought was maybe singular in the fact that both of you are MacArthur Genius Fellows. Two geniuses on one album. How often do you get that? I mean, like stated geniuses. There are a lot of geniuses that are on albums, you know what I mean? But very rarely do you get to have the business card. You know, Chris Thiele, genius. Edgar Meyer, genius.
Pass.
All right. But then the two of you did this fantastic album with Yo-Yo Ma, you know what I mean, in which you play a song called Quarter Chicken Dark.
Quarter Chicken Dark.
I mean, we could play a little bit of it if you want to hear it. Do y'all want to hear a little bit of it? Biscuits with that? We're hearing Quarter Chicken Dark by Stuart Duncan on violin, Edgar Meyer on bass, Yo-Yo Ma on cello, and on mandolin, our guest, Chris Thiele. This is the first ever Music Inside Out before a live audience in New Orleans. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you think. Coming up, could Chris Thiele be a giant hobbit? Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out, before a live audience at the George and Joyce Ween Jazz and Heritage Center in New Orleans. Our guest, Chris Thiele, writes musical compositions that are ear-catching and often difficult to play, including a song cycle for bluegrass that he performs with the Punch Brothers. He's also written a mandolin concerto. So when Thiele and his bandmates tackle somebody else's music, it must be something special. Here's an excerpt from their recording of Kid A, a song most people associate with the British electronica band Radiohead. Radiohead that gets you every time?
They're world builders along the lines of Tolkien, I think. These people who can kind of make an environment and welcome us into it and then also not dictate our experience, but rather just sort of set us loose, give us the building blocks, I think, to actually start building our own stories within those environments. I mean, I think of certainly Tolkien and just his whole rendering of Middle Earth, but also, you know, video games like The Legend of Zelda or Mario 64, things like that, where the beauty, the joy of that is that you're just sort of allowed to go explore, you know,
yeah.
Turn over the rocks and see what bugs are underneath. And in Radiohead's case, you know, it can be a sort of dark, depressing, and paranoid, but they're also really beautiful. I mean, sometimes the actual harmonic language can be Debussyan. There's this one moment in Reckoner, towards the end, like he's a... much.
Because we separate, it ripples on play.
That is like, you can just kind of hang out and swim in that for a while.
It's true.
And so I feel like they, you know, they do that. The Beatles did that. Give us these, you know, these records that we could just wander around in. To Pimp a Butterfly that I just mentioned, that's a record that you can just set up camp in that record and just wander around in it. You know, the construction of that record reminds me almost of like Rite of Spring or something.
Are you serious?
Which is another kind of a world building thing that, you know, the piece is only just over 20, I think. And I mean, right from the start, and you can like hear those chords that he's setting up behind, which are just anything but the ones you would first go to.
It's interesting, I mean, that you mentioned the Rite of Spring. I mean, that's sort of the beginning of the 20th century. And then Kendrick Lamar, beginning of the 21st century, doing the same thing. I don't know, maybe there's some kind of optimism that happens at the beginning of a century, where you think that anything is possible, so why not go for it?
Right, or either that or you're just really pissed off and wanna say something about it. And you know, I don't think you could make a record like To Pimp a Butterfly or write a piece like The Rite of Spring if you didn't also believe that change was possible.
It's really going on.
This ain't free. You looking at me like it ain't a receipt, like I never made ends meet, eating your leftovers and raw meat. This ain't free. Living in captivity, raised my cap, salary, celery, telling me green is all I need. Evidently, all I seen was spam and raw sardines. This ain't free. I mean, baby, you really think we could make a baby name Mercedes without a Mercedes Benz and 24-inch rims, 5% tint and air conditioning vents? Hell no. This ain't free. I need 40 acres and a mule, not a 40 ounce in a pit. Pull. Matador, had a door knocking, let him in.
Now, this is Music Inside Out, and we're talking with the lovely and talented Chris Thiele, host of Public Radio's Prairie Home Companion. So, Chris.
Yes.
When are we going to hear Kendrick Lamar on the Prairie Home Companion?
As soon as Mr. Lamar would like to appear on our show here, we'll be on it.
Space will be made.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We almost got Radiohead.
Really?
We did. At the last second, it didn't work out. I mean, it's probably for the best. I might have died.
And so do you have any other aspirations? Like, who's on your wish list?
I think we're going to start doing at least a show per season with a symphony orchestra as one of the guests. And I can just imagine, particularly if the symphony could be a surprise guest, or you know, maybe they're going to play a certain thing, but then maybe I write a score for the song of the week, and they just appear 2.5 minutes in, you know, it's just a massive, all of a sudden on the radio, it's just like, and you're just transported.
It would be great.
Place. So that's something I would really love to do.
I wish for you a New Orleans brass band.
Yeah.
I wish for you jazz.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I wish for you like the blues. I wish for you, you know, Himalayan throat singers. You know what I mean? As when I listen,
yeah.
I want to hear more of all kinds of music, you know what I mean, on your show. And I know that you're going to do it because you're young enough to do anything.
Amen.
Really,
oh,
you know,
I
and smart
agree
enough.
More. So some of the just swingingest, groovingest music I have ever heard in my life. I hear that a lot in New Orleans. Like the idea of like feel counterpoint, which is so important in all music. Uniformity of 16th note pulse is what you hear in, you know, electronica, for instance.
16 note pulse.
Yeah. Just like that, basically a quantized, like a perfectly placed, uniformly placed, digitally laid thing is the invention of you know, our time. This is not, it's not something that really, oh, just like, what would be like, this is a great song, but it is lined up.
Okay.
Remember that? There it is. Baby, can't you see I'm falling? A guy like you, you know, and it's just like, it's lined up and it's super, it's vibey, it's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool, that's a sound.
You know that you're toxic.
And the danger is of it becoming standard practice. Everyone's just kind of like, oh yeah, I hear you, look, it's like this, right?
Right, and New Orleans musicians, I mean, they're like you. I mean, they've got big ears, and they listen to each other when they play, and you know what I mean? And you can hear it in a traditional jazz
and have the sophistication,
ensemble.
Rather than go, ooh, I bet that would sound nice against this. You know, four or five people feeling 16th note pulse, but like feeling it hard and feeling there's almost this feel counterpoint going on. And counterpoint is so important to the success of any music, I think.
And in fact, we, you know, not long ago we spoke with Don Vappy, the wonderful banjoist, and when he was asked, you know, what kind of music do you play? He said, I play good music.
Yeah, you do, Don. Yeah, you do.
Wow. Well, I hope we get together a year from now in New Orleans when you're doing your show here, maybe even before a year.
Yeah, I think.
And you're going to
Well, I think that is definitely going to happen.
Yes. And you'll reel off all of the acts that you've had from here and from other places who've just rocked Prairie Home Companion in a way that it's never rocked before, you know? But thank you so very much for joining us and for talking with us. There was a gentleman over here who had a question.
I was wondering if you could either perform or comment upon the song you did November, I guess, 12th. I made this for you. I was driving cross country back home, and people talk about driveway moments. Well, I had a rural interstate moment listening to you perform that. It was absolutely wonderful to hear that on that particular day.
The election was the 8th and the show was the 12th. And so we're trying to be very inclusive on the show. We're trying to be actively, not necessarily apolitical, but as sincerely inclusive as we can be. There's so much name calling, there's so much yelling. No one's mind was ever changed about anything, you know, in the midst of just being treated as if they're stupid or evil. And so that song was an earnest attempt at talking about that a little bit. The song was called I Made This For You. That ended up being one of the performances I'm actually the most happy with as far as live. Let's see if I can get to it.
To my sweet little boy and dear wife, for the dream that I call my life. To my mother and dad and my brothers who stand on the edge of a dark, dark night. To those of us trying to hear through the din of the boorish year. To those of us singing la la la, fingers stuck in what's left of our ears. Whether you're laughing or crying, if you're doing your best to be kind, this land is as much yours as mine. As God is my witness, I made this for you. I made this for you. To finish dissecting our fate. Here's hoping the next 4 years don't last as long as Chicago's last 108. God bless us. God help us. As we put the front pages to bed with the war raging on in our heads, I could write a swath of humanity off based on something that I just read. But I don't wanna fight fire with fire, and I don't wanna preach to the choir. For you, I made.
you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show was produced by Jason Doyle, Joe Stolarik, Garrett Pittman, and Jason Rhine. Special thanks this week go to WWNO, Randy Fertel, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, American Public Media, and A Prairie Home Companion. For a complete playlist of the songs in this hour, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Rosa Mary Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.